snap. The kick is in the air, and the kick this time is no, sir, Ree. No, sir, Ree. Final score, Tennessee 20, Florida 17. Pandemonium reigns.
You're listening to the RTI Podcast, powered by WalkieTalkInsider.com.
What a Monday. Welcome into the Rocky Top Insider Podcast. I am Ben McKee, your host here on the podcast, joined by Matthew Ray of Sports Illustrated. Jeremy Pruitt has been fired as Tennessee's head football coach. Philip Fulmer will be retiring here over the next couple of months. Matt, what a day. What a day. What a Monday.
Yeah, what a Monday. That sums it up.
Yep, and I honestly don't even really know where to start. There's just so many details that have come out today. There's just one thing after the next. I guess we'll start with how we got to this point, and then we'll talk about what it means for Tennessee, and then we can talk about the press conference that was had about an hour and a half ago with Chancellor Donde Plowman, UT President Randy Boyd, and Philip Fulmer as well. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. But Matt, why did we get to this point? And I'll start and you chime in. But Tennessee is at this point because of the investigation that was had over the last several weeks dating back to November. It was first reported in December when Tennessee was playing Texas A&M in the final game of the season. And that investigation has led to Jeremy Pruitt's firing. And I guess where I'm going in terms of why we are here is this past weekend on Thursday, Jeremy Pruitt met with investigators who were involved in the situation to discuss his role in everything going on. They met at noon, and the meeting did not finish until 8 o'clock. So 8 hours of meetings for Jeremy Pruitt on Thursday. I was told that there were over 10,000 text messages that the investigation had on Jeremy Pruitt. Not necessarily 10,000 bad text messages, just 10,000 text messages in general to sort through. So pretty clear that Jeremy Pruitt was in over his head or in some deep doo-doo, as some people would like to say. And a lot of people jumped to conclusions on Friday asking, okay, well, why is Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt flying out to go see Henry To'o To'o if he had this investigation on Thursday? Clearly, that means that Jeremy Pruitt is going to be back next season. That was incorrect. That meeting with Henry To'o To'o had been scheduled for quite some time. And the reason this decision was made on Monday instead of Thursday night or on Friday after the meeting is simply because Tennessee needed to review what it found on Jeremy Pruitt in the investigation. So the pressure has been mounting over the last couple of days, and rumors started to fly this Monday morning, and it did not sound like Jeremy Pruitt was going to hold on to his job, and that turned out to be true, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, when I think you and I referenced this on the last podcast that we had, you know, and a credit to Jeremy Pruitt at the time, when you look at what he was doing, he was carrying out the duties of being a head football coach. He had a meeting set in stone with Henry To'o To'o and his parents to discuss what was going on, some moving parts. I think everybody has kind of known that Brian Niedermeyer was likely not to be back next season. That was Henry's primary recruiter. You know, bringing in Hendon Hooker, continuing to work the transfer market. That was all stuff that Jeremy Pruitt had to do to continue to show that he was going to be the head coach at Tennessee. And, you know, until you receive that termination letter that is circling around social media right now that he received, there was no reason for him to not do that. But, you know, it is, you know, the timing is everything. And I wrote a column about that. And, you know, obviously it was Tennessee getting their ducks in a row for Jeremy Pruitt. He had a long meeting, and as you and I have both heard, it was very extensive, and you know, there was a lot to turn over during that time, and you know, it's resulted in double digit firings around the football program today. So you know, it's been a whirlwind of really probably 7-8 hours now, because like you mentioned, the rumors kind of started flying. You started hearing from people this morning that this was, you know, coming, and then you're trying to work different angles and get different things ready, and then it happens. So it's been an interesting day, to say the least, and it's going to be an interesting, you know, weeks to months coming forward for Tennessee on how they're going to proceed. They have to hire an athletic director. I think you have to get that first. That's the obvious choice. Then you have to, you know, look at a search firm. They've already hired a search firm, and you have to go out and see if you can find the right head coach. That's the right long-term fit here. And, you know, who knows if that's going to happen.
Yes. And this wasn't about whether Tennessee made the right decision or the wrong decision, because even if Jeremy Pruitt was winning, what has been uncovered would still cost him his job, as Chancellor Plowman explained during her press conference this afternoon. Tennessee is dealing with level one and level two recruiting violations. And in Jeremy Pruitt's contract, it states that he must promote an atmosphere of compliance for all of his coaches, everybody who is reporting to Jeremy Pruitt. They must fall under his compliance, and that was not the case. And as a result, it wasn't just Jeremy Pruitt fired with cause. So Jeremy Pruitt will not be paid a buyout. Tennessee does not have to pay the $12.8 million buyout because they were able to fire Jeremy Pruitt with cause. Brian Niedermeyer, the inside linebackers coach, was also fired with cause. Outside linebackers coach Shelton Felton was fired with cause as well. The director and assistant director of football player personnel were fired. A football analyst and quality control coach was fired. And then four members of the on-campus recruiting staff were fired. So 10 people were fired today. So whether Jeremy Pruitt was a good football coach or a bad football coach, which his on-field record showed that he was a bad head coach, this was going to happen regardless. So it's kind of a weird situation of, it's really unfortunate that Jeremy Pruitt is getting fired, and Tennessee is the laughingstock of college football today, of the sports world in general today. But it is a chance for Tennessee to turn over a new leaf. And we can touch on this towards the end or later on a different podcast. But the direction under Jeremy Pruitt was not trending in the right direction well before we were aware of this investigation. The on-field results were very poor before we found out about this investigation. And again, you can make the case that Jeremy Pruitt deserved to be fired just for the on-field product and Tennessee's football program, just when it comes to playing on Saturdays and whatnot. Jeremy Pruitt was not a good head coach here at Tennessee. But now you don't have to pay him on his way out the door. You get to go get you a new football coach that hopefully can produce the results needed on Saturdays. And then on top of it, you don't have to pay him. As I mentioned, you don't have to pay him $12 million, which is a huge relief in this year. And again, we can get into that later. So I say all that to say that there's no really discussion as to whether or not Tennessee might made the right decision, because this wasn't a witch hunt to get rid of Jeremy Pruitt. This would happen if Jeremy Pruitt was 7-3 right now, just like it's happening with him being 3-7. Now, you could make the argument that Tennessee may fight the NCAA a little more if Jeremy Pruitt was producing better on-field results. Look at LSU and Will Wade. But this investigation uncovered so many issues within the program, and Tennessee had no choice but to get rid of him. Although they may get lucky, and this may be a free pass to get rid of him, so they don't have to pay him the buyout, and because the on-field results were lacking. So Tennessee needs a head coach, but it's going to have to find an athletic director first, Matt, because Philip Fulmer will retire this semester at some point, still the acting athletic director, and it was made apparent and beaten into us essentially during the press conference that Philip Fulmer was not involved with anything that was going on that resulted in Jeremy Pruitt's firing. The spin zone is that they want the new athletic director to hire the new head football coach, and that does make sense. So you mentioned that Tennessee now has to search for an athletic director, and Matt, it has to. It absolutely has to, because you want the athletic director, the new athletic director, to hire his head football coach. You don't want a new football coach working under somebody who did not hire him. That would create nothing but problems.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, I think the Auburn job was similar. I think, you know, the head coaching candidates that they interviewed had some concern over the job security of the current athletic director and what was going to happen there. And, you know, hey, if this is the guy hiring us, we don't know who we're going to be working for next. So, you know, that relationship works inversely. I feel like, and if, you know, you're coming to Tennessee, listen, this job, nobody knows what's, you know, really going to happen from this point forward. There's some serious violations being, you know, levied against the university, Jeremy Pruitt and his staff. And, you know, obviously this is just the beginning of it, but if you're a new head coach looking at Tennessee, I think you want to know who you're working for. And, like you said, you have to get an athletic director that can get his head coach in here. You have to be working towards the same goal. And that's something that Tennessee, I feel like, has lacked for a while. But, you know, we'll see what happens with the athletic director search. I think there's some very intriguing and well-qualified candidates out there that can interview for the job and really turn Tennessee in the right direction. But we'll see how that all works out and how much of a sense of urgency there is for Tennessee in making that hire.
There should be a great sense of urgency.
Oh, absolutely.
Almost to the point to where somebody should be named by the end of the week or middle of next week. And although it's a really unfortunate situation to have to hire an athletic director and a head coach at the same time, I feel like the athletic director hire will be much easier than the head coach hiring, because with the AD hire, there is a clear and obvious choice. To me, there's a clear and obvious choice of the direction that I would go. Tennessee has three legitimate options to pick from, but there's one clear choice to me, and that is Mark Ingram at UAB, UAB's athletic director.
Absolutely.
He was a two-year starting long snapper at Tennessee, playing with Peyton Manning, 95, 96. He got his master's degree at Tennessee in sports administration in 1997. He then joined Tennessee's athletic department in 1998, and he served as an assistant director of development. He then returned to Tennessee in 2007 as a senior associate athletics director. And during his time in Tennessee's athletic department, he helped with renovations across campus, raising money, working on the design to build the Anderson Training Center, stuff that bores people, especially when you're not winning football games. But that stuff is important. That stuff is important, and it's what Philip Fulmer was lacking. And yes, he didn't make any hires or assist in any hires that we are aware of while he was at Tennessee, but he's gone and proven himself at UAB, in my opinion. He's been absolutely tremendous at UAB. You look at what he and Bill Clark has been able to do with the football program. not only hiring Bill Clark, but that football program was shut down for 2 years. And Mark Ingram helped Bill Clark navigate that and come back and win multiple Conference USA championships. That is so impressive to be able to navigate that situation and still be successful. And over the last couple of years, UAB has been the best team in Conference USA. So on top of the football success that he has had at UAB, he also went out and hired Andy Kennedy to be UAB's basketball coach this past offseason, which was a very impressive hire for UAB. Yes, Andy Kennedy coached there in the past before he went on to Ole Miss. But I imagine Andy Kennedy could have gotten a bigger job than UAB if he waited long enough. So I think Mark Ingram has done a tremendous job at UAB. And to me, it's a pretty clear, easy option. And again, I mentioned earlier that there's three that really stand out to me. John Gilbert at ECU. He worked at Tennessee from 2011 to 2016 under Dave Hart. And then Gerald Harrelson at Austin Peay. He has done a good job at Austin Peay as well. So Tennessee has options. I think Mark Ingram is the best out of those options, in my opinion. And they, quite frankly, Matt, should move in quickly on Mark Ingram, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. When you start thinking about candidates, I agree. There's a couple of names that come to mind. But just to me, if you start thinking about athletic departments that have been through, you know, anything that you could imagine, you think of UAB, like you said. That football program was down. He helped to get it reinstated. And when you look up his profile at UAB, he has raised over $100 million in cash and pledges for the athletics department. He's helped develop a $22.5 million football practice facility. He's completed over 20 additional facility projects. And UAB student athletes have had a 3.40 in the spring semester of 2020, and he has had them in national conversations for all sorts of different things during his time there. To me, given his time at Tennessee, his experience, his ability to deal with what he's dealt with there, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer that has to be your first call, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And again, that should not be something that takes a while. I would be surprised if it did. And again, I don't know if Tennessee is going to give him a call. I don't know if – I'm assuming that he would accept the job. I would be surprised if he was not interested, just kind of connecting the dots. Tennessee did hire John Curry out of the blue, so who's to say that they won't do it again? But Tennessee is in a much better situation with their search for an athletic director than it is with a head coach. Because with a head coach, there's no clear, obvious answer, option, person that they can call like there is with Mark Ingram or Gerald Harrelson at Austin Peay or John Gilbert at ECU. So I would be very surprised if Tennessee's search for an athletic director extended over a long period of time, not because Tennessee has to work thoroughly, but Tennessee's kind of lucking into a situation to where it can be thorough, but also hire somebody who is ready to come in and have an impact, somebody who is going to be a good hire. Even if things were normal and Philip Fulmer was retiring and whatnot, Mark Ingram was still number one on my board. So this isn't just an emergency hire or an emergency phone call. This is a good hire. We had Mark Ingram on the Swain event last year, right before Tennessee played UAB in 2019, and he was awesome. I was blown away by his energy, his passion for UAB, but you could also hear the passion that he still had for Tennessee, and I think he would just be a tremendous hire. So hopefully Tennessee can move in quickly on that situation, and that would expedite the process of also hiring a head coach, which is going to be the far more challenging task at hand. In the meantime, Donde Plowman did reveal that Kevin Steele, who was hired as a defensive coach last week by Jeremy Pruitt. Kevin Steele will be the interim head coach until a new coach is hired, and that's a good move for Tennessee. I know people look at T. Martin and Jim Chaney maybe and possibly some other coaches, but I think Kevin Steele is the best possible interim head coach, Matt, because I truly believe that he does want to see Tennessee get back to where it belongs. That's kind of been the message from Jeremy Pruitt, Philip Fulmer, since they hired him last week. And I don't believe that's a spin zone. I truly believe that Kevin Steele wants the best for Tennessee, and I think he'll do a great job as an interim coach over this next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month, however long it takes to hire a head coach. I think he'll do a good job, and it's important that he does do a good job because the transfer portal is as popping as ever. It is on fire, just people left and right. This roster is going to have to be talked off a ledge, and I think that Kevin Steele can really help navigate those waters.
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think when you look at it, there's other opportunities out there for Kevin Steele. He could have made a move or tried to make a run at other jobs, but you know, everything you and I have heard behind the scenes, everything that Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer have said, all line up that Kevin Steele wanted to be back at, you know, his alma mater, a place that he's, you know, been to a couple of times as a coach, started some of his early roots here. And I think for Tennessee, it's kind of like we've talked about this at the time was a no-brainer hire. It was a great move by the Tennessee administration, regardless of what happened with Jeremy Pruitt, because if Jeremy Pruitt was able to survive the investigation and come back, he's getting a guy that he trusts, a mentor, a really good football coach, and a Tennessee, a guy that's Tennessee at heart. Now, obviously, Jeremy Pruitt didn't survive, but you've got a guy like Kevin Steele, who's all that I already mentioned, knows how to, you know, talk through this, knows how to talk to players, knows how to navigate boosters, knows how to do all this other stuff, and he fell right into your lap. And, I mean, when you think about it, he was the interim head coach at Auburn 3 weeks ago, I guess.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, this was I'm not going to say it was a strategic move for Tennessee by any stretch of the imagination. You know, who knows, maybe it was, but it was just a smart move. It was a common sense move, and, you know, I think now it's going to pay off, and you're right. You know, this roster is – they're shocked. I mean, that's the best way I know to put it. They did not think Jeremy Pruitt was on his way out the door. You know, credit Jeremy Pruitt to, you know, getting his guys to buy back into him another time. And they, you know, they're going to have questions. And around 6 p.m. there's going to be a team meeting. And, you know, that's been planned. That was a routine meeting anyways. And
because guys are starting – the spring semester starts tomorrow.
Yep. So guys were starting to trickle back in anyways. Some guys were – you know, planning to get to campus an hour or two before that, get settled in and get over there and see what's going on and find out, you know, what the workout schedule looks like and everything. And, you know, there's going to be questions. And, you know, Kevin Steele just went through a lot of the questions at Auburn that's probably going to get asked here at Tennessee. And, you know, an hour and 10 minutes as we're now recording this podcast. So, yeah, I mean, it was a common sense, no-brainer hire, in my opinion. And he I think having Kevin Steele is going to be big for Tennessee. I'm not saying he's going to be your long-term answer, but I think he's certainly at least in a position to try to make a run at it if he wants to. You know, he's going to get an opportunity to show, you know, here over the next 7 days, 14 days, ever what happens until Tennessee starts interviewing people or, you know, whenever that may be. Kevin Steele is going to get a chance to actually show the administration, whereas these other coaches, you know, they're not going to get that firsthand experience. So that's something that could work in his favor. And no, I'm not saying Kevin Steele is going to be the head coach. I'm just saying it's, you know, that is a point to make. And yeah, I agree, Ben. I think having Kevin Steele has Tennessee in a better position, especially trying to talk this roster off a ledge than they would have been if they didn't have Kevin Steele.
You probably don't want Kevin Steele as your next full-time head coach. I understand the negative energy there. I completely understand that. But there should not be any negative energy towards Kevin Steele, the interim head coach, and Kevin Steele, the defensive assistant. You want guys like Kevin Steele on your staff. A, he's a guy that cares about Tennessee. He played here at Tennessee. He coached here at Tennessee even before this stint. He knows the landscape, both from a Tennessee perspective and from an SEC perspective. And he's a guy that is just a really good football coach, X's and O's wise. I mean, he was up for the Broyles Award for the best assistant coach in college football in 2017-18, one of those years. So you want people like Kevin Steele on your coaching staff, and whoever the next head coach is should absolutely retain him. It's going to be hard to find a better coach on the defensive side of the football than Kevin Steele. So I understand the negative energy towards Kevin Steele as a long-term answer, but he's a great short-term answer. He is the best option Tennessee has had in the short term. Better option than T. Martin, better option than Jay Graham, better option than Jim Chaney. And I'm solely referring to interim coach. Kevin Steele is a great option, and he's got his work cut out for him, because he's going to have to try and talk these players off a ledge. And I would encourage
a lot better option than Brady Hoke.
Yes, I concur with that. I don't think Kevin Steele sends text messages in all caps, but I would encourage Tennessee fans to not freak out about reactions from players or recruits on social media. I think you're going to see a lot of that. You've already seen a lot of that, and it's totally understandable, because as you said, the players and recruits they're shocked by the development. You know, they're not keeping up with it on a day-to-day basis like fans are, and they're the ones that have their careers kind of hanging in the balance. And I feel really bad for the players that signed during the early signing period, the early enrollees that enrolled this weekend, 2-3 days ago, they enrolled at Tennessee. Caden Salter arrives at Tennessee last night. The next morning, his head football coach is fired. And he's come out with a tweet that gave off the perception that he wasn't going anywhere. But still, that sucks. You arrive at college, a lifelong dream, to play quarterback in the SEC on Sunday night, and then your head coach who recruited you is fired the next day. That's ridiculous. So not only the recruits and the signees, but the current players that were recruited by Jeremy Pruitt, they have a different feeling, a different perception of him. So you're going to see comments on social media. You're going to see players leave. I would not worry too much about it, because, yes, you may lose a player like Henry To'oTo'o. Yes, you may lose player X, player Y. You may lose this quarterback, that quarterback. You may lose whoever. But it's going to be okay in the long run, because Jeremy Pruitt did not need to continue to be Tennessee's head coach, both from a investigation standpoint and, quite frankly, from a football standpoint, because Tennessee's culture was not where it needed to be, both on the football field and in terms of violations within the program. So, yes, you may lose a player here or there, but in the long run, because Jeremy Pruitt is no longer the head football coach, theoretically, you're going to get more players and probably better players in the long run. So, Matt, I would encourage fans not to freak out about players transferring or making comments on social media. They'll have the ability to possibly smooth over a relationship with the new coach. And that new coach, assuming Tennessee doesn't make a fourth consecutive bad hire, should be able to bring in a roster full of talent.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see it happen. There's going to be some guys that leave, and, you know, Ben, talking to you and, you know, talking to other people, these were guys that we thought might even leave if Jeremy Pruitt stayed. But, you know, it's only going to probably look worse for a little bit, but, you know, again, there's the transfer portal is creating a new world. There's going to be a ton of opportunities out there, a ton of really good players. And Tennessee still has a chance to smooth this over with guys, you know, and they're going to have selling points to make to these guys. So I agree with you. I wouldn't freak out. You know, we've seen a couple of decommitments today in the last 2 hours, and, you know, those were probably on the way anyways.
They're not big decommitments whatsoever. Colby Smith, offensive lineman, he wasn't going to be a part of the class, and I would have been surprised if Jordan Mosley, the receiver from Alabama, would have been a part of the class as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we even talked about it. We weren't sure that other than if they could land a Tywan Malone, that they were going to sign any high school player in the on the second signing day. So, you know, that's kind of saying without saying that, you know, the guys that haven't signed yet aren't getting in. And, you know, obviously that stuff does change, and Tennessee could have assessed the need and maybe signed a Jordan Mosley or signed a Colby Smith, but it was unlikely to happen. And, you know, this is just their time now to officially get back out on the market. But yeah, there's going to be more bad news come, but there's going to be the chance for opportunity that, like you said, if Tennessee doesn't make a fourth bad hire, you know, there's going to be the chance for that head coach to bring in a roster full of talent, and it's going to be out there. I firmly believe that we just saw a brief glimpse of what the transfer portal is going to bring. I mean, if the one-time transfer rule fully goes into effect, and it could go next month or, you know, March, whenever, when spring ball happens and kids get beat out, there's going to be an eruption in the transfer portal.
Yes.
So there's going to be the opportunity out there. Are you going to lose some guys that, you know, that Tennessee fans have grown to know and love and like cheering on and have followed since the recruiting trail that were big recruiting lists? Yeah, it's likely that that's going to happen, but, you know, there's going to be the opportunity to get some really quality football players back in their place.
Now the question is, who does Tennessee hire at head coach? We talked about the athletic director search. I think that's pretty cut and dry. It's just a matter of which one of Mark Ingram, John Gilbert, and Gerald Harrelson Tennessee wants to hire. But Tennessee also has to hire a head coach. The new athletic director has to hire a head coach. And yes, this job has a perception of dysfunction, but watching the press conference today, Matt, I truly thought that Chancellor Plowman and President Boyd showed great leadership. I know people are kind of making fun of some comments here or there on social media. My question would be, what else did you want them to say? I mean, they're not going to go up there and just go scorched earth on everything, on everybody. They're going to try and put up this facade of they have things under control. And to be honest with you, I do think Randy Boyd and Donde Plowman do have things under control. And that's because throughout this entire investigation, I continue to hear nothing but good things about them. Yes, from the outside looking in, and they were very quiet. And from the outside looking in, that looked like they did not know what they were doing, or they weren't working, or whatever. But they were. But they had to let the investigation play out, and they did that. And when the results came back, or came in, or however you want to describe it, they swiftly made a decision, and the right decision. So they showed leadership throughout this entire process, in my opinion, and should help ease the comfort of hiring an athletic director. And if you have Randy Boyd and Donde Plowman and a strong athletic director, that trio of leadership should help land a head coach, because it should help ease the concern of dysfunction above the head coach at Tennessee. Because I truly believe, time will tell, and I realize it's easy to say after a press conference like we had today, but I truly believe that Tennessee has the best leadership in place that it's had in years, in Randy Boyd and Donde Plowman. I say that as somebody who has had my own experiences with Randy Boyd and Chancellor Plowman. I worked with the Smokies for 2 years, so I had plenty of interactions with Randy Boyd when he was running for governor, because he does own the Smokies. So I saw him quite often, and was as nice and genuine as he appears to come off. And he's a great businessman. He's a great leader. So I like Grady Boyd. I like Chancellor Plowman for my interactions with her as well. But not only my interactions, but all you do is hear good things about them. I've yet to hear one bad thing about them off the record or somebody making a comment to me, not on the radio or not on social media or whatnot. They have a good reputation. And I think that will, A, help find an athletic director. But B, when you find that athletic director, it'll be a nice trio of leadership to hopefully, you know, change this narrative of dysfunction that Tennessee has had. And it's a truthful narrative, but it's a narrative that needs to change. So that trio of leadership should be able to do just that, which leads me to ask you, Matt, what should Tennessee be looking for in its next head coach? We'll talk potential candidates next, but just in terms of criteria that you have on your checklist for Tennessee's next head coach, what are the first couple of things that you're looking at?
Well, first off, I agree with everything that you said about this administration. I think that they, you know, as much as of a weight as there was, I still think they handled things extremely well. I think Randy Boyd and Dondi Plowman are extremely capable and probably the best fit that Tennessee's had to do this over the past four times that they've done it now. So I think when you look for a head coach, when you're looking at a head coaching candidate here, you have to find stability. And, you know, right now Kevin Steele is providing that for you. And you have to find somebody that can come in and work with Steele to bridge that gap, keep these guys on the roster happy, continue to work the transfer portal. And when you talk about working with Steele, I think you have to talk about what kind of staff he can build around him. Tennessee's going to have a staff of great developers and recruiters in place this time around. I think Jeremy Pruitt got close on staff a couple of times, but you know, he could never get all the right pieces and in all the right places at one time. And you know, the defensive line is evidence of that. The defensive backs fell off. Quarterback play was a revolving door for the majority of his tenure. And I really think for me, and this is the word that I use, I think you have to find a sexy hire offensively. There can't be another defensive-minded head coach come to Tennessee right now. There has to be something that makes Tennessee flashy. And you're going to have some pieces if you retain everybody. You know, you're going to have the Jalen Hyatts, the Valus Jones, the Malachi Widemans that can win jump balls. You're going to have some quarterbacks that can play. You're going to have some quarterbacks that can do some mesmerizing things. Caden Salter, Hendon Hooker, you know, Harrison Bailey showed that he was extremely accurate. Can you get an offensive-minded coach that can scheme guys up into open space and, you know, give these quarterbacks a chance to thrive? For me, I think, one, you have to find stability, and I think that's why some of the names we've heard come out of the NFL ranks are interested in that aspect, because obviously they have been around a big-time organization. And then, I think you have to find something flashy for your offense. Or does that come down to hiring a young coordinator to go with, a stabilizing head coach? I don't know how all of that works, but there's a lot of qualities that Tennessee needs to find at head coach that all may not be out there. So I think a lot of it's going to come down to, you know, the staff that you can build. And I think that's why you hear a guy like Doug Marrone mentioned so much, is the ability for him to pick up the phone and call some really prominent names.
I'm with you. I think number one on my checklist is hiring somebody that is a CEO, a coach who has been a head coach before. I don't think it's a non-negotiable, because I don't believe in pigeonholing yourself into one particular situation, because I think when you pigeonhole yourself into one idea, that prevents you from potentially finding the right person, just kind of with anything in life, not just a coaching hire, but when you're just fixated on one thing, that prevents you from seeing other options that may prove to be better than what you were looking for in the first place. So I do think Tennessee needs to hire somebody who has been a head coach been a successful head coach, not Bill Belichick or Nick Saban or Dabo Sweeney or just somebody ridiculous like that, but somebody who has had success in the college level, the pro level, I think that should be a requirement, not a non-negotiable, but it should be high on the list of criteria, requirements, whatever word you want to use, because I think when you do that, when you hire somebody who has been a successful head coach somewhere, that takes care of the whole making sure you hire somebody that can run an organization, because somebody's not going to have success if they don't know how to run an organization. That's why Pruitt was a bad head coach. He's a great football coach. He's a bad head coach because he's not a CEO. He doesn't know how to put out fires that pop up. He doesn't know how to solve problems. He doesn't know how to manage people. So you kind of kill two birds with one stone when you hire somebody who has been a successful head coach before. You check off the experience factor, and theoretically you're checking off the box that they can run a program. They're going to be able to manage people. So that's number one on my list for me. And I'm with you on number two. I don't think it has to be a sexy hire on the offensive end. Not saying that you're saying that, but it kind of feels like that's the new thing to do nowadays when you look right around at hires in the NFL and the college level and what fans want and what media kind of pump up. You don't have to hire a sexy offensive guy, but it sure would help. It sure would help to hire somebody who resonates with high school quarterbacks. And if you can solve the quarterback position on Tennessee's roster, it sure would solve a lot of other problems, because at that point, receivers want to come play with that quarterback, offensive linemen want to come play with that quarterback, running backs, tight ends, so on and so forth. So I do agree with you there that Tennessee needs to look at hiring somebody who can really attract high school quarterbacks, somebody who can develop Caden Salter, who can develop Harrison Bailey, who can develop Ty Simpson if Ty Simpson chooses to come to Tennessee. So those are the first two things that I really think Tennessee needs to check off above all else. And Matt, with that said, who are some of the names that you're looking at as Tennessee does begin to dive into this coaching search?
Well, I mean, when you look at our hot board that we put out, we mentioned Doug Marrone. I think he's obviously got some support around him right now. He was at Tennessee for a year, but you know, he offers that stabilizing effect, like I mentioned. I think a guy like Billy Napier has a lot of experience. But again, like I mentioned in the article, when you look at Billy Napier, he is 28-11 as a head coach, but he has been very strategic in making a jump, and he's turned down several big jobs, and it just kind of feels like he's waiting on LSU to call. So, you know, is that the case? Who knows? But I think you have to make him a call. I think you have to give him a call. I know Hugh Freeze is the popular vote. I agree with me if I'm wrong, or tell me if I'm wrong here, Ben, but I don't see that one happening.
No, you can't bring in Hugh Freeze after today.
You can't do it.
Him or Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, it just cannot happen. And you know, Lane Kiffin has expressed some interest in the job. But again, he just, you know, got a contract extension, and you know, everybody remembers what he did before, and I think most people are past that, but you just can't bring him in with his baggage. I think a name that if you're looking at available head coaches that to me is intriguing, you're talking about wanting to do stuff different with an offense and everything else. I think a name that's intriguing to me, but now with Kevin Steele in place, how realistic is, I think Gus Malzahn, before Kevin Steele was hired, was an interesting name to me. And, you know, I think Jamie Chadwell is another interesting name to watch. And then Jim Caldwell. I mean, obviously we know that Peyton's going to be involved a little bit. And we know the relationships that the relationship that is there. So is Jim Caldwell looking to, would he be willing to make a jump back? And then, you know, I don't think you can discount an Adam Gase this. And then I know that's what I said too. I don't think you can. I think he at least might get a call. And then, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me, well, what about Tom Herman? He's been places after an investigation before. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he wants to coach at the SEC level if he can. I'm sure he doesn't want to sit on his couch for, you know, the next year. But I don't know that he's a viable candidate at this point. I guess we'll see. So there's going to be some more names probably trickle out. But, you know, for me right now, I would probably put a top two of Doug Marrone and Jamie Chadwell.
Yeah, and I would extend it to a top three and include Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien, Doug Marrone, Jamie Chadwell, the three names that I've heard the most buzz with over the last couple of weeks.
I don't think you can – I didn't think about really O'Brien. I guess kind of thinking about him going to Alabama, but I don't think that's too much to overcome at this point. So
we'll see. Yeah. That is – I would tend to believe the opposite, honestly. Sounds like Nick Saban has done a good job of talking Bill O'Brien into believing that the Alabama offensive coordinator job is better for his future than potentially ruining his future at Tennessee.
Yeah, it's right now the Alabama offensive coordinator job is coach here until you pick the job you truly want.
Exactly.
I mean, so it's a pretty easy sell.
It is. So I think Tennessee should absolutely still call Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien checks
absolutely,
off the two boxes that you and I talked about earlier in regards to proven head coach. What he did at Penn State was very nice. And I know he'll get dinged and talked about for his time with the Texans, but Bill O'Brien's going to be the head coach at Tennessee, not the general manager at Tennessee. The general manager title is what got Bill O'Brien in trouble in the NFL, having to deal with roster changes and all that fun stuff. He's recruiting here, and he's done that before. It's different than trading players and re-signing players and things of that nature. He would be a head coach here. He would not be a general manager here, and he has proven to be good as a head coach. So I would call Bill O'Brien. I don't know that it'll work out for Tennessee. He may be content on being Alabama's offensive coordinator, but you at least give him a call. Doug Marrone, another name that, yes, it's been floated around, but I also don't think it's as bad as people think it is right off the jump. You look at his time at Syracuse. When he was the head coach, Syracuse was much better under him than it was before Doug Marrone. And after Doug Marrone, you look at his time with the Jaguars, and he had Blake Bortles within one game of going to the Super Bowl, and then Tom Coughlin and some other people in that Jaguars front office just ruined relationship after relationship after relationship with the players, Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Fournette, Ngakoue, who got traded before this past season. So many talented players that Tom Coughlin in the front office ran off, not Doug Marrone. So I understand that Doug Marrone's not sexy. I don't know if he would fit at Tennessee, but I don't think it would be a bad hire. He's a good coach. He knows how to manage people, and he may be able to put together a really good coaching staff. I think he's a name that will get a look. Jamie Chadwell, I think he does have interest in the Tennessee job. We'll see if Tennessee reciprocates that interest. His offense is pretty fascinating. It makes me nervous about his offense and what is perceived to be extremely run-heavy. And maybe that was just a product of this year and him adapting to what he had on his offense this year. But I do know that there's been some potential pause when it comes to his style of offense. It's not what Hugh Freeze runs. It's not what Lane Kiffin runs or some of these other coaches. So Jamie Chadwell has done a tremendous job at Coastal Carolina, and he would definitely be interested in Tennessee. The question is, will Tennessee be interested in him? As far as some of those other names you threw out there, I'm not a fan of Tom Herman or Gus Malzahn. I think Gus is a solid head coach. I think Kevin Steele's defense masked a lot of his offense's deficiencies Absolutely. Over the last couple of seasons, which is why he ultimately got fired, because Auburn fans grew tired of a quarterback not being developed, of extremely talented wide receivers being underutilized. Their offensive line play fell off. The tight end was non-existent. So there's some concerns with that Gus Malzahn offense that I would not bring in because of those concerns. There are more red flags there than I think people want to realize, just because he did have some success at Auburn. But then again, Gus is better than what Tennessee has now. So Tennessee doesn't necessarily have the highest stone to stand on. But I would not hire Gus if I was in charge. And then Tom Herman, I wonder about the baggage that he has. He's been associated with some interesting people during his coaching career. His time at Texas did not go well. Yes, Texas has its own problems, but I think Tom Herman isn't as perfect of a candidate as some believe either. He's been a head coach, but he hasn't been successful at a Power 5 school as a head coach. So I do wonder about that. I'm not huge on Tom Herman, quite honestly. Lane Kiffin, Hugh Freeze, we talked about them. I would call both of them. I just don't think that you can bring either to Tennessee after today's press conference, especially Hugh Freeze, more so than Lane. Lane's not going to get a call, or if he does get a phone call, he won't be Tennessee's next head coach because of what happened when he left the first time. So it sounds like Doug Marrone, Bill O'Brien, Jamie Chadwell are those first couple of names. Jim Caldwell's name has been thrown out. I don't know how serious that is. I wouldn't take it seriously at all just yet. But that is a name to keep in the back of your mind. I guess one of those names to where if it does pop up, it's not just surprising. So those are kind of the names that have been floated around the last couple of weeks. Who Tennessee should hire, I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with you. I mean, it's there are some qualified candidates out there. And listen, I know to go back to a point that you made, you know, Bill O'Brien catches a lot of grief over the DeAndre Hopkins trade and whatnot. But where Houston screwed up was making him the general manager, like you said. You're talking about a guy that won. I mean, he came in, he went 9-7, won the AFC South consecutive times. Then he goes 4-12, but bounces back with an 11-5 record, goes 10-6, and then becomes a general manager. And, you know, there's times where everybody doesn't like their boss. And then when you have a boss that's also your coach, and there's a lot of moving parts to that. But I'm looking back even further than that. And when you look at what happened at Tennessee today, and I'm not comparing it in any way to what happened at Penn State all those years ago, but these are serious violations that Tennessee are facing. And, you know, it's a black eye, and it's going to cause difficulty for whoever the next coach is. Bill O'Brien was the next coach at Penn State after the Sandusky scandal. I mean, to me, that's another feather in his cap of at least why you call this guy. He has navigated – he navigated the most difficult situation in college football, in my opinion. There was no more – it was what a scandal. I mean, it resulted in, you know, Joe Paterno, you know, name being smeared, a legendary coach, loss of scholarships, and he comes out and goes 8-4, you know, and – to just put the on-field record out of the equation, he knows how to navigate a situation like that. And then since then, he's coached Tom Brady. He's coached under Bill Belichick. He has coached Deshaun Watson. He's coached J.J. Watt. He drafted – he helped with – you know, had Jadeveon Clowney there. You know, he's been around big-time names. He has drawn – obviously he's fixing to be, you know, Nick Saban's next offensive coordinator unless Tennessee can make a move. So, you know, this is a guy that's been around winning football. And then you add what he did in his past, in the past at Penn State, and a program that's facing very serious allegations, and you know, went through that whole situation. You got to give the guy a call.
Let's end on this. Let me throw three names at you and see what you think. First, well, before I do that, Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, Matt Campbell, Iowa State, Tennessee should call both of them. They won't express interest in the job, especially Matt Campbell, but Tennessee should at least give them a call. I just don't expect them to be interested in the job. And same with Billy Napier. A lot of people are throwing out Billy Napier. You talked about him earlier. He's holding out for that perfect job, a guaranteed job. And unfortunately, Tennessee is not a guaranteed job to have success right now. Auburn wasn't, either Mississippi school last cycle wasn't, Arkansas wasn't. He's holding out for a guarantee. So Billy Napier, great coach. I think he'd be a great hire. I just, he doesn't and won't have interest in Tennessee, quite frankly. It would surprise me if that happened. But let me throw these three names out to you. Three names that I think Tennessee fans would be two names that Tennessee fans would be hesitant with, and one name Tennessee fans I think would just be completely opposed to. The one that people will be completely opposed to is Army's Jeff Monken. What do you think about Jeff Monken?
Yeah, you and I talked about Jeff Monken. I agreed with what you said. I don't think Jeff Monken's married to the triple option. That's a name that I would be very interested in. But to go back to your first point, if I could have my pick of any coach in the country right now, I would back the Brinks truck up for Matt Campbell.
What would have been the buyout for Pruitt and just give it to Matt Campbell?
Just take the buyout for Pruitt, give it to Matt Campbell, you know, give it to him in the first year. Just give him that much in the first year and then find a contract to settle on thereafter.
Signing bonus.
Yeah, give this guy some money. I mean, I've talked to some people out in the Midwest, and he just loves beating Oklahoma and Texas at Iowa State. I mean,
he's the NFL coach. That's his next job.
Yeah, he literally just loves what he's doing. But, yeah, no, I would not be opposed to a Jeff Monken. I know a lot of people would, but I would not be.
And I tell you why I really like Jeff Monken. Well, first, folks who pay attention to what I say and tweet on social media know that I love rooting for Army football because my dad was in the Army for over 20 years. So it's just kind of a fun little thing to do during college football season, keep up with Army football. In the last couple of years, it's been really, really fun because they've been really good under Jeff Monken. So yes, that one kind of pulls on my heartstrings, but I truly think that he's going to be a good hire somewhere. I don't know if he would prove to be a good hire at Tennessee. I tend to think that he would. I don't know if he would be a good fit at Tennessee, but I tend to think that Jeff Monken can adapt anywhere. He was at Georgia Southern, so he's familiar with the South, and good football coaches, good leaders, good CEOs, they adapt to anything, anybody, any situation. And I think Jeff Monken is exactly that. And he's had so much success at Army that if he wasn't running the triple option, I think he would have already been hired at a Power 5 school. I think ultimately he will get hired by a Power 5 school, and I think he will have a ton of success wherever that school is or whatever school that is. He's not married to the triple option. That's first and foremost. He's going to hire a good staff, and not only is he going to hire a good staff, he's going to allow that staff to do their job. And say what you will about the triple option, which, again, he's not married to, but that defense at Army has been tremendous. That's really what's won them as many games, if not more, as the triple option. So I think he would bring a great defense to Tennessee. I think he would be able to hire a good coordinator. He would allow that coordinator to do his job because he knows how to manage people, knows how to manage a coaching staff. He would have better resources. And most importantly, and I think this is why I'm so high on him, is because he would instill a winning culture. Everybody would be held accountable. Players love playing for him. I really like Jeff Monken. It's a pipe dream for me, but a name worth mentioning. The other two to me that is interesting is Bill Clark and David Cutcliffe. Cutcliffe, for obvious reasons, I think that he could right the ship for Tennessee. He almost was Tennessee's coach before Derek Dooley, but Tennessee did not allow him to bring the coaches that he wanted to bring, so that did not work out. I think Coach Cut would be successful. He might be the closest thing to Rick Barnes as you're going to be able to find. I'll be curious to see if there's any interest on either side there, but I think that's a really intriguing name. And he's also checks off the offensive box on the checklist and attracting high school quarterbacks. I think Cut would do that. He attracted the Mannings. Yeah. That speaks for itself. Sure, yeah. But Bill Clark didn't really – I've always liked Bill Clark, but he really received more attention from me in my head today when Philip Fulmer announced that he was retiring, because – if Mark Ingram does get the Tennessee AD job, you got to think that Bill Clark is a candidate for
absolutely
for the Tennessee job to follow Mark Ingram to Tennessee. And it's not the sexiest of hires, but I think it would be a good hire.
Absolutely, yeah. I think so too. And like you said, I think when the Philip Fulmer news came out and announced his retirement, I think when you think of Mark Ingram, you have to think, no, this really does give Bill Clark a chance. And, you know, I think it gives Mark Ingram a selling point too. If he's interested in the AD job, like, hey, I've got a candidate that's ready to make the jump already. Now, or is he going to tie himself to him completely? I doubt that. But, you know, it at least – kind of depending on how Tennessee wants to move there, I think that helps both of those guys in this situation.
For sure. I think what we've come to the conclusion of is that there's just not a clear-cut option, a clear-cut candidate to go get. There's a clear-cut candidate for the AD job. There's really three good options. Gilbert at ECU, Gerald Harrelson at Austin Peay, and then Mark Ingram at UAB. I think all three would be solid hires. Again, I prefer Mark Ingram. I think that's well documented now. There's a clear-cut option there, a great option there. There was a great option when Tennessee had to fire Donnie Tindall on the basketball court. Rick Barnes had just been let go by Texas. It was a perfect marriage. Tennessee needed to hire somebody that was going to bring stability, somebody who was a proven coach, somebody who could win. Rick Barnes was that, and that has worked fantastically. I think we've all come to the conclusion that finding the next head coach is going to be really challenging, because there isn't just a obvious great option, but that's also the product of Tennessee doing what it's done the last decade and last couple of years, and why they're in the position that they are now, and that they have themselves to blame, that there's not a clear-cut, obvious answer. So, Matt, I don't know where Tennessee's going to go, but it's going to be fun to keep up, and it's going to be a fun coaching search and athletic director search to kind of follow.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a quiet offseason.
No, so not at Tennessee.
It's going to be fun.
Would you agree with that? Would you agree that there's no clear-cut, obvious go-get candidate? Every coach that we've mentioned,
I think so.
Has a flaw. Every single one of them. Every coach that we mentioned has a flaw.
Every coach. Yep.
So we'll see what happens. Matt and I will continue you got one last thought on the way out?
No, I'm just happy to be here at this point.
It's been quite the day. I'm about to drink coffee, cup number two, and continue to deal with this coaching search. So, Matt, I know you and I will be back here on the pod soon. We will continue to provide updates for the good people. Matt, how can people follow you and your work to keep up with those updates?
Yep, everything on Twitter and social media at VR2 on SI. My personal is at Matt Ray SI. You can check us out at our website, si.com/college/Tennessee.
Well, Matt, Appreciate your time as always. Always good chopping it up with you. That will do it for this edition of the Rocky Top Insider Podcast. For Matt Ray, I am Ben McKee. Make sure to stay locked in to Rocky Top Insider on all social media platforms. You can follow me on Twitter, BenMcKee14. Finding Rocky Top Insider on everything is pretty self-explanatory. But again, he's Matt Ray. I'm Ben McKee. We'll talk to you all next time.